Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. We're going to study the life of Judah. Judah, our praise is the title of our sermon this evening. Judah, our praise. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49 is a prophetic chapter. It gives us insight into the future of each of the sons of Jacob and his lineage. God makes it very clear that God has a plan for his people. And all this stems back to that promise that God gave originally to Abraham. God said to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 that you will be great, you will become a great nation from your lineage, from your loins. I will build a great nation as the stars of the skies. You will be great, you will be many, you will become a nation. I will give you a land, I will give you a permanent dwelling place. And I will cause you to be a blessing to the whole world. And so we see that developed through the line of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah had Ishmael initially, but God made it very clear that he was not the promised seed, and God gave them Isaac. And with Isaac, God gave him a wife by the name of Rebekah, and Rebekah and Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and that wrestled in the womb of Rebekah, and Esau being the eldest, Jacob being the younger, and God said that the younger will be master over the elder. And from the loins of Jacob, 12 sons. And this is chapter 49 of Genesis, where God gives us insight into these 12 sons, and God reveals to us a little bit about them and the fruit of their lineage. So far we've studied the life of Reuben. Reuben unfortunately was given to unholiness, and that led to his instability. And then this morning we studied the lives of Simeon and Levi, and they were given to uncontrollable anger and wrath, and God condemned them and said, you will be a separated people. And this evening we're going to study Judah. And note here in verse number 8, please, the Bible reads, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would teach us from your precious word. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So Father Jacob, Israel has addressed Reuben. Reuben, you will be unstable. You will amount to very little. Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty. And now Reuben. Reuben is next in line. I think he must have been nervous. Judah is next in line. So he's just listened to Father Jacob, scold Reuben, and scold Simeon and Levi, and Judah is next in line. I think he must have been a little bit nervous. He had some shady things in his background. And no doubt as he listened to Jacob's scathing rebuke and reality check upon Reuben, Simeon and Levi, I'm sure that Judah would have possibly said to himself, what will Dad say about me? Is he going to mention my parental slackness that resulted in the vileness of Onan and Er? What about my ungodly affair with Tamar? Genesis chapter 38. Is he going to mention any of that? So I can imagine that Judah's on tender hooks. You know, it's so true that most of us think we worry about things that never eventuate. Our minds can be very creative in making up imaginations that have no reality to them. And sometimes we do the calculation in our mind and we think that we've got our numbers right, and only to find out that we were not correct in our additions. And when I think of that thought, I think of Judah. Father has just highlighted my brother Reuben. Father has just highlighted my brothers Simeon and Levi. Judah, my turn. Oh dear. I can imagine what Dad's going to say about me. Well, Jacob calls out the name Judah. And note what he said of Judah: thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Judah, you will be a means of praise. And I could just imagine that Judah, automatically, his blood pressure must have gone down to normality. Judah, you will be a means of praise. A means of praise. And then he goes on to say, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah, you will be praised. Now, bearing in mind that Jacob, Israel, father Jacob, Israel is looking down into the future and he's prophesying concerning the usability of each of his sons. And he spelled out very clearly, Reuben, you'll amount to little. Simeon and Levi, you'll be scattered. But Judah, God's going to use you and you will be an instrument of praise. Now, the name Judah means praise. You'll be praised for the victorious achievements. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. You'll be praised because you will be a man of victory. And in fact, Judah, you will be praised because thy father's children shall bow down before you. You will be a means of praise. So as the father addressed Judah and prophesied concerning his future, he said, Judah, you will be a means of praise to others. You will have prominence as a leader over your brethren and over your enemies. You will be a source of praise. Now, when we think of the life of Judah, we see that Judah, back in chapter 37, interceded for Joseph, so he wasn't killed. Chapter 37, verse 27. And then as the father prepared to resend his sons, specifically Benjamin, back to Egypt, it was Judah who offered himself as a surety for Benjamin. And then we read in chapter 46, verse 28, when Father Jacob decided to move to Egypt, he sent Judah to prepare the way before him. This is Judah. And you've only got to read chapter 38 of Genesis to note that Judah was far from perfect. He had some huge kinks in his armor. Yes, he had made some mistakes, but he had made things right, no doubt, with his family and with his God. And God has used him, and God will continue to use him. And as the father
looks down into eternity, he said, Judah, your lineage will be a means of praise. You will become a prominent leader and you will be victorious and your own brethren will bow down before you. Now, the difference between Judah and Reuben and Simeon and Levi must have been the fact that Judah at least made things right. We're not told specifically, but when you read the context and you read how his father uses him, he entrusts Benjamin to him. And he said, Judah, you lead the way, you prepare our way to Egypt. There must have been a point of reconciliation. There must have been a point of getting right. But not the same for Reuben. Not the same for Simeon and Levi. Was God still bringing up their shortcomings? And beloved, may I encourage you this evening, it's never too late to get right with God. God can turn our lives around for His glory. He can make up lost ground and turn those stumbles of life, those mistakes, into stepping stones for God's glory. And that's what He does in the life of Judah. Judah, you will be an instrument of praise. Yes, you will live up to your name. Yes, you've had your shortcomings, but you've been humble enough to set things right. I'm going to use you mightily. You will become a prominent leader and you will be praised. Your own family, your father's children will bow down before you. And then he went on to say in verse number 9, some further means of praise upon the life and tribe of Judah. Look at verse number 9. Judah is likened to a lion. Note then verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp. A whelp is a cub, a young lion. Or a young bear is referred to a whelp in the Proverbs. Judah, you have the strength of a young lion, full of courage, full of strength. Judah is a young lion's whelp from the prey, my son. Thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. Whom shall rouse him up? So just as the lion is the king of the animal kingdom, there's something very majestic about a lion. When you just visit the zoo and you just look at a lion, there's something very majestic about a male lion. They have a kingship element about them. The lion is the king of the animal kingdom, and Judah, you will become the royal king of my people. You will be the royal tribe that all will bow down to. See, as Joseph was to receive the double inheritance of the firstborn, so Judah would receive the patriarchal dominion and responsibility of the firstborn. He was to be as strong as a young lion that has overwhelmed and eaten his prey, and as secure as a mature lion resting in its den, whom nobody would dare to disturb. Nobody. Judah, you will be a king. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Thou art him whom thy brethren shall praise. Judah, you will become a leader of prominence. You will be victorious over your enemy. Judah, you will be like a lion. You will be a king. Nobody is going to mess with you. You will stand true and stand victorious. Judah will be a king. Now this is Jacob's prophecy concerning his son, the King of Kings. Just like the lion is the king of the animal kingdom, reflecting majesty and strength. So as Father Jacob looked down into the future and he saw victory in Judah, he saw kingship and dominion in Judah just like a line. What was he foreshadowing for us? Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. It's important that we bear in mind as we read each of these descriptions in Genesis chapter 49 that they are prophetic concerning each of the sons and their future. Note here in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Who is this Lion of the tribe of Judah that Jacob of old could foresee that will come from the Lion of Judah? Look at verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10, hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. See, this Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the Root of David that has prevailed, is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's why, Judah, you will be a means of praise. Because from your seed, a prominent leader will arise that will be victorious. And beloved, Jesus Christ is victorious. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ was buried for our sins according to the Scriptures. And Jesus Christ rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is that Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Father Jacob said to Judah, you will be an instrument of praise because from your lineage will come a leader, a victorious leader, a king, a courageous leader that will have, which will be victorious over the enemy of sin, death, and hell. If you go back to Genesis chapter 49, gives us some further insight concerning this king. So in verse number 8, Judah, you will be a means of praise. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. You will be a leader. A leader will arise from your lineage that will be victorious. A leader will arise from your lineage, Judah, that will not only be victorious, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, but also he will be likened to a lion, a king that will reign. And then note then verse number 10, he goes on and gives some clarity as concerning this Judah of praise. This Lion of the tribe of Judah. Look at verse number 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So we see in verse 8, Judah as a leader, as a victorious leader. And then in verse number 9, we see Judah as a lion, a king who will reign. And in verse number 10, we see Judah as Lord. Jacob looks at Judah and saw the Lord in all of His glory. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. A scepter is an instrument of kingship. That's what a king would hold in his hand to give mandates and orders with his scepter. And Jacob said of Judah, "Judah, you will be a leader. You will be like a lion. You will be a king. You will be a victorious king. And you will be Lord of all, for the scepter shall not depart from Judah." Go to Numbers chapter 24, please. Numbers chapter 24. Leviticus, Numbers chapter 24. Numbers 24, verse 17. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob." Who is the star out of Jacob? A scepter shall rise out of Israel. This is in reference to Judah. The tribe of Judah. From Judah will come the lion of the tribe of Judah. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come." So Jacob looked into eternity future, and he said, "Jacob, you will be a means of praise. You will become a prominent leader. You will be victorious over your enemies. You will be a king. And the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come." The word Shiloh is from the word we get shalom. Shalom, peace. The one that brings peace is the Prince of Peace. And Judah, from your line will come a victorious leader who will be king, and he will be known as Shiloh, a means of peace. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Prince of Peace. Judah, you will be a means of praise. "Thy brethren shall bow before thee. From your lineage will come a leader of victory, kingship. He will be named Shiloh, he will bring peace. The Messiah will come from the tribe of Judah." And this is what happened in the coming of Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews chapter 7. Once we get through the book of Genesis, we'll go back to Hebrews and hopefully complete the book. But note here in Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse number 14, please. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of" where? "Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." So our Lord came from the lineage of Judah. This is the royal line. Judah was a conquering, ruling tribe. She stayed loyal to the Davidic line. Even when the nation of Israel divided, it was the tribe of Judah with Benjamin that made up the nation of Judah. And it's from this nation that Shiloh has come. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, has come. And from the time of King David, Judah became the dominant tribe. So that dominance is reflected here in Genesis chapter 49, that as Father Jacob makes reference to Judah being a prominent leader of victory, being a king, and from your roots Shiloh shall come, and you will be prominent. You will be dominant, and that's what Judah became. So when the 12 tribes had their divide, 10 tribes became known as Israel, and the other two, Judah and Benjamin, became known as Judah. So Judah was a conquering, ruling tribe. She stayed loyal to the Davidic line. And see, that's what is referred to there in verse number 10, please, of Genesis 49. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Judah shall stay loyal to the line of David. It was the tribe of Judah with Benjamin that made up the nation of Judah. From the time of King David, Judah became the dominant tribe. So, beloved, this evening, the ultimate manifestation of this reign of Judah will be in the form of a Messiah, Shiloh, who will set up his kingdom and reign as king and Lord of all. So as as Jacob gave prophecy concerning Judah, he said, you will be praised, you will be king, you will be Lord. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, and from between his feet shall Shiloh come. See, the king has come already as the babe in a manger. And my friend, the Bible teaches us he will come again to rapture Christians from the earth, avoiding 7 years of judgment known as the tribulation period. And then we will return with Christ upon the earth, and we will reign with Christ upon the earth for 1,000 years. And that's what Revelation chapter 20 refers to. Go to Revelation chapter 20, please. Revelation chapter 20. In verses 11 to 16, we have the second coming of Christ. Let's read. Yeah, why don't we go back to chapter 19? Let's read verses 11 to 16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. This is in reference to Jesus Christ. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. That's you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior. We will return with Christ upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus Christ will come in victory. We will return with Christ upon the earth, and he will conquer the enemy. Then in chapter 20, please, from verses 4 to 6, we have a reference to this 1,000-year reign. Verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 49, please. Genesis chapter 49. This is what Father Jacob is making reference to, where it reads there in verse number 10, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." See, the ultimate manifestation of this reign of Judah will be in the form of the Messiah, who will set up his earthly kingdom, and he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the earth for 1,000 years. This king has come already as the babe in a manger. And he went to an old rugged cross and he shed his blood for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And before his ascension, he said, "I'm going to come again. Jesus Christ will come again. And he will catch the saints away, will be taken from the earth. Then God will pour out his wrath and judgment upon the earth for 7 years. Israel will be saved and God will judge the Gentile world. And after that 7 year period, we will return with Christ and reign with him 1,000 years upon the earth." See, Judah, you will be an instrument of praise. Judah, you will be king. You will be victorious. And that victory is found in the person of Shiloh when Shiloh comes. And praise God for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. Even though Judah had his faults, Judah got right with God. He got right with his family. And God said of Judah, "You will be an instrument of praise. Reuben, you won't amount to much. Simeon and Levi, you'll be scattered. But Judah, you'll be an instrument of praise." He was just as vile and just as wicked as the others. But the difference was that Judah got right with God. And I'd like to encourage you this evening, no matter vile or how wicked you might have been in the past, praise God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for his forgiveness. He's able to cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And if you will set your heart right with God, God is able to put your feet once again upon a solid rock and use you great for his glory. But it was because Judah got right with God. He really got right with God. Obviously, Reuben did not. And Father said, "You will be unstable." Simeon, Levi, obviously not. Instruments of cruelty. But Judah, an instrument of praise. If you go back to Genesis chapter 49, note then verse 11 and 12, we see a little bit of insight concerning that reign with Christ upon the earth for 1,000 years. It will be a land of blessing. Judah, you will be a prominent leader. You will reign as king. From your loins will come Shiloh. Look at verse 11 and 12. "Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, his clothes in blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, his teeth white with milk." This is colourful language to illustrate the fact that this will be a land of blessing. When we reign with Christ for 1,000 years, it will be blessed by Almighty God. The land as it will be when Judah's line comes to reign. And Father Jacob, he saw the millennial blessing that will flow in the land for that 1,000-year reign. And these verses here, verses 11 and 12, convey health and beauty and peace and plentifulness. And we don't have time to look at the the makeup of the land in the millennium. But if you would like to, you can study Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah chapter 65, and these chapters give some insight concerning that 1,000-year reign and what the land will be like. But Father Jacob said to Judah, Judah, from your loins Shiloh will come. He will be a leader. He will be king. And he will reign in victory. And all will bow down to him. And he will reign in a land of countless blessing. Beloved, we are pilgrims passing through, are we not? This is not our permanent home. And it's important that we remind ourselves of that very fact. The promised land described the land that flows with milk and honey. Heaven is our milk and honey, where we will dwell forever. Let's not get too comfortable on this side of eternity. Because verses 11 and 12, Jacob makes reference to the fact that Judah, you will be an instrument of praise because from your loins Shiloh shall come. He will be victorious and he will reign as king of kings. And the land over, he will reign over a land that will be full of beauty and well-being and peace and plentifulness. I think of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Listen carefully. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, my friend, as Bible-believing Christians, we are saved by faith. We're to live by faith. And we need to be mindful that we're only pilgrims just passing through. This is not our permanent home. Don't get too comfortable, because you ain't hanging around here for too long. If you make it to 80, 90, you're doing okay. We have an eternal home. We have an eternal home likened to milk and honey to look forward to. And we will reign with Christ. Wow, little did Judah know all that would transpire. And I'm sure Judah was a little bit nervous as he listened to Father Jacob scolding Reuben, scolding Simeon and Levi. Oh dear, what's Dad going to say about me? What's he going to highlight about me in front of all my family? What will become of me? Oh Judah, you will be an instrument of praise. Your brethren will bow down before you. You'll be a leader, a lion. From your roots will come a Lord, and I will give you a land, an eternal land. So, beloved, let me encourage you this evening. Unfortunately, the line of Reuben amounted to very little. Unfortunately, Simeon and Levi were scattered. But Judah, that royal line, was Judah perfect, yes or no? No. When you get home tonight, read Genesis 38 again. He was far from perfect. But somewhere between chapter 39 onwards, Judah gets things right. And God chooses to use Judah in a very special way. And I trust that's a source of hope for you and I this evening. But if you and I will have the humility to confess our faults before God and set our hearts right before Him, then God can take us and reuse us for His glory. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. His life and lineage will be the means of praise for all mankind. All that place their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. For the Savior has come through the tribe of Judah. And as God said to Abraham, Abraham, that from your seed will be a blessing to the whole world. Little did Abraham realize that that will specifically come through the line of Judah. Source of praise. So let me encourage you this evening, though we stumble and fall, and we've all made mistakes, we serve a gracious God, a forgiving God. And if you will set your heart right with God and fellow man, as obviously Judah did, God picked up the pieces. And instead of God highlighting his shortcomings, God said, Judah, you will be a source of praise. Praise God. Our God is the God of the second chance. And all of God's people said, Amen. Let's bow for prayer.